praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Lord, in this day when our thoughts can't help but be pulled to what's happening there in Florida as Hurricane Irma hits the West Coast. Lord, we think about all the people who have been displaced, and we think about all the crying of hearts that are going out today. Think about, Lord, those who are leaving material possessions behind, great amasses of wealth and material possessions that will be left to weather the storm. Lord, we know that even if when they go back home, those possessions are gone. If they have you as their Savior, what matters most will still be in place. But Lord, in our desperation, we do cry out to you because, Father, there are people who are hurting this morning from Hurricane Harvey and who are probably still trying to get out of harm's way in Florida. And Lord, we pray for them. Lord, we pray for their safety. We pray, Lord, that you would make a way where there seems to be no way for those who need fuel this morning and can't get it. Lord, I pray that you would bless them with some kind of divine provision. I pray, Lord, those who need water and can't find it, I pray, Lord, that you would bless them with the living water and with water to drink for their bodies. I pray, God, that you would meet every need. Lord, in these times, we realize how much we need you and how much we need each other and how much we need the church, your hands and feet. So, Father, thank you for blessing the church with resources that we can share, that we can distribute, that we can access the Church of the Nazarene Global Network. As crisis care kits come in from all over the world, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would help us to get them in the right hands at the right time. Lord, we thank you that we have been blessed. We ask, Lord, that you would provide for every need. And Lord, may this time of displacement and movement create in us a heart of compassion that we've never had before for those who are displaced around the world in refugee camps from war and from drought and from floods. I pray, God, that there would be a great awakening, a great revival of compassion in our hearts to do things, Lord, that you would do, to offer a cup of cool water. And Lord, I pray that as we are a nation, Lord, that you would help us to be a nation of compassion. Pray, God, that as we figure out how to do things orderly and good so that we do no harm, I pray, God, that you would help our political leaders to come up with good ways and means to do the work and to allow the work to happen. And I pray, Lord, that you would use ordinary people to meet needs. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing right now. Lord, we go along pretty good, we have to admit, until a hardship comes, and then we are just pulled to you. We are drawn to our knees, and we confess our great need. We do that this morning, Lord, in the face of great need. help but feel the emotional toll of what's going on as well, 1,000 miles away. Lord, bless, we pray. Lord, bless the offering as it is received. And Lord, as 5.5% of every dollar goes out to support our missionaries this day, I pray, Lord, that in every conversation and in every case, you would be glorified as every dollar is invested in the kingdom. Bless our time together now and help us, Lord, to be a blessing here locally. Help us, Lord, to be people that are just like Jesus. In Jesus' name, bless the offering. Well, praise the Lord. What a good morning. It's hard to imagine that in Florida this morning there is conditions are very different. Our hearts go out to the folks that are weathering the storm and those displaced this morning. For those of you watching online, which may include Don and Joan Carroll from Florida, from Seminole, we hope that you're okay this morning, and if the internet is up and going, maybe you're joining us for the service today. We hope that everything is well with you. Many of us have family and acquaintances and friends in the vicinities of Hurricane Harvey and Irma, and our prayers go out to our Father on their behalf. Reminds us of what really matters, doesn't it? I can't help but be encouraged by what I see in that people are helping each other, and skin color doesn't matter a bit. Praise God. And, you know, I was thinking this morning about the people that left great amasses of wealth that had to leave Florida, and those who got in, and they got in, you know, great, beautiful cars and headed north. And then I thought about the people that had to walk, head north. I thought about the people that got in an old car that they weren't sure was going to be able to go 100 miles. And I thought about them all kind of coming to a rest area and pulling into parking spaces next to each other. And I thought about what a great leveler disaster is. It's humbling. It's humbling. And God always does something good through it. He brings good from these things. And we recognize that He is our Lord and Savior and loves us deeply, with all his heart. I'd like to read some scripture. Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them. But the disciples rebuked those who brought them, and Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." I'd like to invite Thomas and Amy Jo and Owen to come on up. Owen's praising the Lord back there, isn't he? That's awesome. Hi, Owen.
Hi.
You just look amazing today. Let me read from Deuteronomy this morning. It says in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk to them. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road and when you lie down. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that our kids don't miss the message of what really matters. Amen. Thomas and Amy Jo bring Owen this morning to present him for dedication. And by doing so this morning, you signify not only your faith in the Christian religion, but also your desire that he may early come to know Jesus as his personal Savior. That he will not only know Jesus as his Savior, but that he will walk with Jesus as his Lord. In order to attain this holy end, it will be your duty as parents to teach him early the fear of the Lord, to watch over his education, that he not be led astray. I think he's got something to say, don't you? That you'll direct his little feet early into the sanctuary, to Sunday school, to church, to restrain him from bad habits and evil associates. Basically, as much as within you lies, do everything you can to help him know Jesus. And I know you guys, and I know you'll do that. I think his teeth hurt this morning, don't you? His mind is on his teeth, but we're thinking about his relationship with Jesus, and that's the way it should be. Amen. Well, we are concerned that you hurt a little bit this morning. Thomas and Amy Jo, the things that I have mentioned this morning are really not from me, but rather from God. That you prioritize Owen's spiritual formation and his relationship with Jesus over all of the other things that he could choose to occupy his time. Not that those things are bad, but we got to make sure he gets it, amen? And make sure he makes it all the way home. If you'll endeavor to do that, would you say, we will? I want to ask you, as Owen's church family, they're going to join the church in just a few minutes, so, okay. Will you commit yourself as the body of Christ to support and encourage these parents as they endeavor to fulfill their responsibilities to Owen by nurturing his growth toward spiritual maturity? If so, would you say, we will? Let's pray together. Would Owen come to me? Hi, big guy. We practiced this, didn't we? Yeah, we did, and we did all right. Yeah, hi. Let's pray together. Jesus, we thank you for giving us the example of what really matters, that you took little children in your arms, even when your best guys said, we've got other things to do. You said, no, let them come to me, for this is the kingdom of heaven. Father, thank you for this privilege we have this morning of recognizing that life is precious, and you've given these beautiful children to us, and particularly Owen to Thomas and Amy Jo, entrusting him to their care specifically to help Owen find you as his personal Savior and to fall in love with you for the rest of his life. to follow your ways, your truth, your commands, and to experience your great love for him. Lord, may his life be full. Not only may he enjoy life, but may he know the meaning of life and find the purpose early. Lord, just as early as possible. 4, 5, 6 years old, Lord. We pray that he would come to an understanding of knowing you. Bless him, Jesus, we pray. And bless Thomas and Amy Jo as we now dedicate him to you. Lord, watch over his steps. Every step he takes, Lord, may it be one step closer to a fulfillment of your plans for him. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yes, you did a great job, Owen. We have this flower here for you and a gift. While I've got you here, got one more thing. What a blessing. We believe in God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We especially emphasize the deity of Jesus Christ and the personality of the Holy Spirit. And we believe that human beings were born in sin and that we need the work of forgiveness through Christ and the new birth by the Holy Spirit. And that after we've come to Christ, there is a work that happens within us called entire sanctification, that we realize that it was maybe easier for us to come and give Jesus our sins, but a little more difficult to give him our lives, our will. And he does that through his grace. And the Holy Spirit gives witness to that work of grace. We believe that our Lord will return, the dead will be raised, and that all shall come to final judgment with its rewards and punishments. Do you believe these truths, Thomas and Amy Jo? And I know that you acknowledge Jesus Christ as your Savior, but would you affirm that this morning?
Yes.
The reason I say that is because Amy Jo and Thomas come to us having pastored on the Illinois district, and we're just super glad that you're here. And we want to see God fulfill his complete plan for your lives from here on out. So exciting, isn't it? But you know, it doesn't hurt any of us to revisit the basics. And that's what we do here this morning. When it comes right down to it, it's not really about membership. It's about affirming our faith in Jesus Christ and being a part of the family of God. Thomas and Amy Jo, it gives me great pleasure on behalf of this church, Living Well, to accept you into membership. And Owen, do you want to join too? All right, we'll take that as a yes. Yeah. We trust we'll be a source of encouragement to you and you to us. It's mutual. We're in this together. May the Lord richly bless you in the salvation of souls as you work in the Master's vineyard. And we're a partners together for him. Amen. Well, I'd like to recognize this morning Doug and Renee, Grandma and Grandpa, and Great-Grandma Ruth. So glad you're here. Timothy, Uncle. Tiffany, Aunt, Anna, Aunt, to Owen. Just wonderful to see what God is doing. Amen. Let's affirm and welcome this family. to the membership of the Church of the Nazarene and living well. Bless you. What a blessing. We feel connected, don't we, in what's going on in Texas and Florida this morning, because we have, of course, Church of the Nazarene members on the ground serving in distribution centers, and many churches are just probably not even having service this morning, but serving as places to just take in folks and make sure that everybody's okay. This morning, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. Last week was a little bit of a difficult message in that Jesus brings home to us the reality of what it is to be a disciple. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So we're called to deny ourselves, to die to sin, and devote ourselves to following him. And we really learned last week that we're as close to Jesus as we want to be. It requires that we lay our lives down in order to walk with him on the way to the cross. Well, this week I met a gentleman in the barbershop that I just feel like God's getting ready to do something. Sat down in the chair and he brought me some figs. And it's wonderful to get to know him a little bit. He comes from a non-Christian context. But he began to talk with me about faith, about the Ten Commandments. And I realized that God was opening a door that I'd been praying would open for a couple years now. Yesterday morning at the men's group, we were asking each other how we were doing, and I shared with the guys that I had an opportunity to have this gentleman in the barber chair, and of course, that opens up possibilities that he'll come back. If I gave him a decent enough haircut, he might come back. You know what I'm saying? So he said he'd come back. I gave him a calendar and a card. But anyway, I was talking to the guys and just felt very compelled that this was more than a haircut. And it was an answer to prayer. So I shared with the guys that about 2 o'clock, and Jay's eyes, Halasio, his eyes went like this. He said, what time did you say? I said, about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. He said, I felt an incredible compulsion to pray for the guy in your chair. Yesterday, while I was at work. And I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about listening to Jesus through prayer. I've been thinking about listening to the Holy Spirit through prayer, because that's an answered prayer right there. And I was able to talk with this gentleman for a little while about the law of Moses, and I didn't get to the grace part. I wanted to get to the grace, but I didn't get there. That's the next time. His hair's going to grow a little bit. He'll come back, I think. Mark chapter 9, verses 2 through 13. Let's go there. Mark 9, verses 2 through 13. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him and led him up to a high mountain where they all were alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let's put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He didn't know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and enveloped them, and a voice came from the cloud, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. They kept the matter to themselves, discussing what risen from the dead meant. And we'll stop there for now. When you really think about what Mark was trying to make sure that we hear and understand, it reads like a newspaper. When you think about what the text might be that Mark is trying to help us understand, the headlines, "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." 16 years ago, we remember reading terrible headlines, as most of us remember September 11th. Today, the headlines are all about Hurricane Irma and the relief efforts and cleanup after Harvey. News can be tough. And we have become conditioned, I think, to some degree, that when we turn on the news, we're going to get some heavy stuff laid on us, whether it's what's happening in the government, whether what's happening in North Korea, what's happening in New York, what's happening in Texas, what's happening in Florida. The good news this morning is this: God's news is good. Amen? Let's get an amen. God's news is good.
Amen.
In fact, the word gospel means good news. God's good news. Praise his name. Up on a mountain, transfigured before them, Jesus and Peter, James, and John heard the words of God. "This is my son." This is a little picture for us of what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Let's think about it for a minute. A broken down body filled with disease, aged out, tired, maybe filled with arthritis, is going to be glorified. Amen? Like that of Jesus. No more sickness. No more pain. Because the Bible says that when we see him, we will be like him. We will be made like his glorious body. That's an incredible hope, amen? And if we've endured some suffering here, we know how precious it is. And the older I get, the more I understand how beautiful heaven must be. Peter got a glimpse of what it was like. Can't blame him. He wanted to stay there. I think we would too. Mark says, of course, Peter informed Mark what to write. And he says, basically, "I didn't know what to say, so I said, let's put up three shelters." It was stupid of me, I know, but that's what I said. Mark dignified it a little bit by writing what he did. "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. If you've come to know Jesus as your personal Savior, heaven is real for you. Amen, Anthony? When Jesus was here on the earth, he lived here for the most part in a humble state, having left his glory in heaven. I was thinking about that this morning, about how the hurricanes have been a great leveler. And I thought, what would Jesus do? There might be those who would, from their resort in Florida, be able to have the means to helicopter out to a northern resort in Michigan and escape the pain and not have to worry about the financial loss. But I think Jesus would probably experience it with the people, don't you? By not living for glory here, but rather being a servant. I can see Jesus, instead of escaping the suffering, I can see Jesus participating in the suffering of where people are. Maybe working the soup kitchen line, maybe assisting the Salvation Army in distributing food and clothing. I can see Jesus not being all glorified, but you couldn't pick him out of a line of desperate beggars willing to participate side by side in helping people who are suffering. John 1:14 says, "We beheld his glory, even as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." The word transfiguration literally comes from the word metamorphosis. It means a complete restructuring. Not the same as it was before, but a restructuring. It's the word we think of when we think of the little woolly caterpillar that crawls up and cocoons up and then comes out a beautiful butterfly. It's the process of metamorphosis. The body broken down, weary, becomes glorified, like that of Jesus. God spoke to them in the cloud and said, "This is my beloved Son." The primary message of the Bible this morning is God's love. Always has been, always will be. From the very beginning in history, God desired to walk with Adam and Eve in the garden. And the thing that broke up the fellowship was the sin. But God made a way back. And he's been purposeful about divinely intervening in your life and mine by helping us understand who Jesus is and how much God loves us and being willing to give the life of his Son that we may come to know him as our personal Savior. "This is my Son." He gave everything up. He left the glory. He could have been a warlord for you. Sure, he could have made life temporarily easy for you. But instead, he chose to leave his glory and to live to teach us the real value of life and the purpose and meaning of why we're here in the first place. "This is my Son, whom I love." John the Baptist saw Jesus one day as he's teaching his disciples, and he said, "Look," in John 1:29, "the Lamb of God." Not all glorified, but the Lamb of God who would be sacrificed as the Passover lamb who takes away the sin of the world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. A.W. Tozer once said, as God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. Let me read that again. Isn't that good? As God is exalted to the right place in our lives, 1,000 problems are solved all at once. Let's think about listening to him for a few moments as we close this morning. This is my Son, whom I love. Listen to him. The well-known Christian writer and speaker Tony Campolo tells a story about a time that he preached at a chapel service in a Christian college. Doug, do you remember when Tony came to Olivet? A little bit. We were there. What a stir it was. Before the sermon began, some of the chapel leaders came to Tony and asked if they could lay hands on him and pray for him. Tony knelt at the altar, and 8 men came around him and started praying for him. They laid their hands on him. One of the men began to pray, then another, and Tony recalls that it was like each prayer got longer than the last, and they kept on praying, and their hands got heavier and heavier with each passing word. At one point, one of the 8 men picked up the prayer and didn't even pray for Tony and his impending message, but instead prayed for a man named Charlie Stolfus, who lived in a trailer down the street. Charlie had revealed that morning his plans to leave his wife and 3 children, and the man was praying for God's intervention in Charlie's life. Tony was completely baffled by the prayer, though. Immediately before his preaching, and he was getting antsy with his head now hurting under all the weight of so many hands. But soon enough, the prayer was over and the service began. All went well, and the chapel service great was concluded, and Tony got back into his car and headed home. Not long after pulling onto the Pennsylvania Turnpike, Tony came across a hitchhiker whom he felt strongly compelled to stop and pick up. The man climbed into the car, and after a few minutes, Tony said to him, "Hi, my name's Tony Campolo. What's yours?" And the man responded, "My name is Charlie Stolfus." Without saying a word, Tony pulled off the next exit and turned around, headed back toward the college and the trailer just down the street. Charlie kept asking Tony where he was going, and finally Tony answered, "I'm taking you home." And that's exactly what Tony did, driving the ever more baffled Charlie right to the front door of his trailer. When they arrived, Charlie asked, "How did you know I lived here?" Tony said, "God told me." Later, reflecting that he did believe that God had told him through the seemingly strange prayer of a man who was praying right before he preached. Tony walked to the door with Charlie, and when his wife opened the door, she was shocked. And even more so when she heard the story about how they got there. Then if you know Tony, this is just like Tony. He said, "Now you two sit down. I'm going to talk and you're going to listen." And they both accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior that day. This is my Son, whom I love. listen to Him. Oh, our world is so noisy. In fact, we can even use the noise to drown out the voice of God. But our Scripture is reminding us this morning that there's value, so much value. In fact, it's priority to turn the noise of the world down that we may hear the still small voice of God and listen to Jesus. Jay was listening to Jesus as he was working at the nursing home last Friday when he felt strangely compelled to pray for the man in my chair. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what's happening this morning. Amen. We're reminded of who Jesus is. We can't spend all day on the mountain like Peter, we wish we could. But we have to come down. But we can still be reminded and still live in the transformed mind of Jesus Christ as we come down the mountain. Oh, things on the mountain really looked clear. I mean, we knew what to do. We knew this was Elijah. We knew this was Moses. We knew this was Jesus. We heard God's word. It was awesome. And then we came down, and that's where life gets less clear, less predictable, and more confusing. But let's remember, He's still God. Amen. And Jesus is still who God says He is. What a beautiful thing for you and me, having been with Jesus and seen His glory, to come down the mountain and live the reality that He walks with me and He talks with me, and He lets me be His hands and feet as I listen to Him and do His work and pattern my life after His example. Amen. Lord, we thank You this morning for Your goodness. We thank You for Your love, Your grace that has made it possible for us today. To experience life and life to the full. We thank You, Lord, that You left Your glory in order for us to experience You, God in the flesh, Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that You are willing to participate in human suffering, even though You didn't deserve it. You willingly took our place on the cross of Calvary. Father, thank You for transforming our minds, for transfiguring us for glory, that while we live here in this flesh, we know that we're going to be affected by sin's ripples. Lord, we're looking forward to the day we'll see you face to face, and our bodies will be changed to be just like yours. We thank you for heaven. But Lord, thank you for sending us back down that we may participate in the lives of people just as you did as you walk the earth. Help us, Lord, offer the cups of cool water, the living bread. Help us, Lord, participate all in conversations that just might be headed toward exploring who you are. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, to value people as you did, to realize, Lord, that we may not be functioning today in brokenness, but the people that we meet may be. Help us, Lord, I pray, to put aside the glory of wealth, to put aside the glory of having a full stomach, to put aside the glory of having shoes, and be willing, Lord, to be with and be your hands and feet in a lost and hurting world. Thank you, Lord, for this life that is so rich and full. We praise you, Father, for what you're doing in us right now. Help us be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God in need of anything.
Good times and bad, you are on your throne.
unstoppable. That's what you are. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father.
Amen.
Amen. It is good.
Praise the Lord. You're dismissed, but I'd like to invite Alberto to come forward this morning. I understand you're going to be having surgery potentially this week. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Could we, a few of us, just gather around Alberto in a few moments here and lay our hands on him to pray. Let's just end our service in a time of prayer. Father, we thank you this morning that you are God, that, Lord, in spite of things that we may face that are fearful to us, that may even cast doubt on our future in this physical body, Lord, I pray that our faith can be completely, firmly placed in you. Lord, we pray today that as we face whatever the future holds for Alberto, I pray, God, that you would give him strength, that you would intervene on his behalf physically. Lord, we acknowledge that you are our great physician, that you are our healer. And Lord, we pray for every thing that might, on a diagnosis level, we pray, God, that you would be apparent as you intervene as our great physician in Alberto's life and body. I pray, God, for healing. I pray that the result of this surgery would be good. I pray, God, you would give the doctors the skill, the understanding, the experience to hear you, and may you lead them as they serve as your hands in this healing procedure. Lord, we pray your blessing and provision in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. And may you be glorified, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Absolutely.